This is Mellow Max, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We just heard a whole bunch of songs, which I will log, because I was busy getting set up for Signs That Mock Me as I go. How's it going, Gigi?
Good. Happy to be here. How are you doing, Max?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. Always fun setting up new equipment in a new room.
Yeah. It looks a little different since last time I was here. Yeah.
Oh, and here we should... Oh, mood lighting. There we go.
Yeah, Max just turned the lights off.
Yeah. Cool. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the new project?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want to know? I mean...
Well, the name is a... Is it a James Joyce reference?
It is, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'm not, like, particularly informed about James Joyce lore in particular, but the name... came to me by way of the Patti Smith memoir, because she mentions it directly in the book, Just Kids, and that book is like a whole breadcrumb trail full of cool stuff. So I followed that one and found the poem and just really fell in love with it, and it just kind of really stuck out to me and couldn't really get out of my head, and it just seemed like a good choice for naming something. So that was the impetus for the name.
Cool. And how long have you been working on the songs for this project?
Long time. I think I started writing solo music more seriously last summer. I think my first solo performance was last October, so October 2024, and that was the first time of playing any of them. I think like two or three of the songs in the project were somewhat written by then, but I was probably writing those over the course of, 2024 up to that point, and since then it's just been adding songs and recording them, yeah.
Very nice, and... your debut was last Friday.
Yeah. That was the album release. That's when it came out. Yeah.
Very exciting. And I had the pleasure of seeing you that night, as Nico was also releasing new music.
Yeah.
And that was a double album release.
Yeah, I guess so. We didn't plan that, but yeah, everyone should also listen to the new Statue record, Dream Journal. It's really awesome.
Absolutely. With that, would you like to play us your first song?
Yeah, I would love to.
Cool.
Let's see. Check, check. Max, is the guitar coming through? Do you know? Gonna tap this.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit. Just turn the gain up more.
You know, if you want, I can. I'm going to try one thing real quick, and we'll see if that helps. But in the meantime, we can play one of your songs, or is there anything on the album that you weren't planning on playing?
Yeah, actually, the last song I probably wasn't going to play tonight.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And everyone should go and
testing out my SEO right now.
Nope, you were the next one. There we go.
Yeah. There we go.
Sweet. Halo?
Yeah.
Excellent. Halo coming up in just a second. All right. Coming right up. We'll be back in a few. All right, well, that's not playing, but I know another way to get it to play. All right. And that is aux one. There we go. Cool. All right, now we'll actually be back in a few.
Having to do anything. It's already in there. You don't have to remind yourself of anything, really. All the skills will come back to you in the moment, as long as you're in the moment and pursuing something that gives you energy.
And we are back. Okay, cool. Yeah, nothing like a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're really here, and it really sounds better.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. Love when that happens. All right. Now, that was just Halo off of the Signs That Mock Me As I Go self-titled debut. Is it an album or an EP?
You know, it's maybe somewhere in between, I suppose.
Some people get really particular about that. Yeah, I've noticed. But
it's a project. It's a project of some kind.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. Cool. Well, with that, would you like to follow that up with a live one?
That sounds good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Thanks.
So when you were first working on writing these, are there any... Well, you the name came from a book of... Is it a book of poetry or just collected stuff?
Yeah. I mean, it's a... I ended up buying the James Joyce collection of poems that it's from, I think. Or maybe I'm thinking of something else. I can't really remember. but it's just from a James Joyce poem. I kind of like had a meaning ascribed to the poem for myself, and then I looked into some literary criticism of the poem and saw some other interpretations and was kind of pleasantly surprised to find that it was different according to scholarship. So it's just kind of fun seeing how you know, different works can have totally different meanings to different people, and so I hope that the music can also do that for people as well.
Yeah. Are there any musicians or bands, projects that you were listening to that informed your style for this project?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think anybody that listens to it will probably pretty quickly be able to recognize some Elliott Smith influence, which I definitely wear that on my sleeve. I think, yeah, that record Either Or like really kind of burrowed its way into my brain last year. It's definitely one of my favorite albums of all time, and then I did a really big deep dive on his discography. And then I think the other big one for this would be Nick Drake, specifically Pink Moon. I just really fell in love with the like really kind of dry and dead, like warm acoustic guitar tone. I felt like it really served that music really well, and I just kind of spent a while like chasing it, trying out different strings and stuff like that until I could get something that resembled it.
Yeah. Nick Drake made some very unique music.
Yeah.
And I definitely hear the influence in there. That's fun. Let's see. So, okay, let's break out. You are, what else have you been up to? How's life? I don't know.
Oh man. I don't know. It feels like life is really crazy, but, yeah, it just feels like there's a lot going on all of the time. But yeah.
Well, what have you got on the horizon? Do you have any upcoming gigs as Signs That Mock Me as I Go?
Nothing on the table yet right now. So if you're booking something, hit me up. But I also play in a band called Main Era, and we today just announced a show on December 18th. And it's going to be a benefit show for a multitude of organizations, delivering various forms of mutual aid, and as well as a food and clothing drive. So that should be really fun on the 18th.
Yeah. And that's going to be at Warehouse 11?
Yes.
And for anyone listening, the lineup for that show is so
crazy.
Stacked.
Yeah.
I'll pull it. But off the top of my head, I remember that it's going to be Wedding Gift and Main Era, you guys, Makeout Palace, KO Queen. I know that they're like
Dinos and Ashley Dinos. Finn.
Yeah.
I think that's the full list.
Let's see. I've got it pulled up.
Someone.
We've got,
I think that's everyone.
Yeah. Makeout Palace, Main Era, Ashley Finn, Dinos, KO Queen, and Wedding Gift. We got them all.
Yep. There we go.
Yep. So yeah, that's going to be a fantastic show. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for a great cause.
Yeah, no, I love doing benefit work. Mm-hmm. This Signs That Mock Me Go record is also for a good cause. I'm donating all of the proceeds from Bandcamp and physical sales to the Lucy Hub, which is mutual aid for ICE detainees. So they've been doing a lot of work helping out with the victims of the Alston car wash raid that happened a few weeks ago. And Yeah, so I'll be donating all sales made through the January 1st day of 2026. So I'll be donating all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty crazy event. I remember reading about them and just being like, what the...
Yeah, yeah, it's super disappointing. Yeah. Also very disappointing to learn that potentially somebody from my alma mater might have been partially responsible for calling ICE on them. That was very disappointing to hear. So yeah, it just hits very close to home for me and my community. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I gotta say, it's a good car wash. Really is.
Really is. Yeah. Okay, I don't have a car, so I can't speak to the car wash, but that's cool to hear.
It's one of the few places where they will actually dry your car afterwards.
Oh, cool.
Which is a really nice touch, and the prices are good too. So
word. Support the Alston car wash.
Mm-hmm, definitely
get that salt off your car this winter.
Yeah, it's important. Otherwise, it'll rust out underneath. Yeah. You know, get the full underbody, the
exactly.
whole thing. Yeah. So let's see. It's weird because I know you as Gigi from Main Iran, also for the solo project.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like gauge what questions to ask. But it's cool. What's the process been like, and how has it been different working on Main Era versus this project's music?
Yeah, I mean, so it is very, very different. So this project has been sort of just a way for me to express like a more personal, like singular vision, which kind of comes with its pros and its cons, as I've learned, because I'm very blessed to be part of a really wonderful crew with Main Era, and it's extremely collaborative, which makes things a lot easier in some ways, because we're able to divide and conquer all of the things that go into keeping the DIY music gears turning. And doing this all myself has really kind of made me appreciate that much more, because doing it yourself and literally just yourself is so much harder when and that was kind of my goal with this, is like, because I've been playing in a group primarily for the past 3 or 4 years, I started out, when I first started making music, it was just by myself, and I haven't released any music solo in a long time, since 2021 or something like that, or maybe 2022. So this was just like an exercise to see, like, after, you know, gaining a lot of experience through the band, just like seeing what I could come up with on my own. And also, like, some of the songs I was writing last year were not making as much sense to me to bring to a group context, just because they were much more like personal and intimate, and it just didn't feel like, I didn't feel like I was comfortable like bringing that to the group, because I was still like making music as part of the group, but I don't know, it just felt like it was time for me to try to as an exercise for like finding my voice, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, as a result, it's just a lot more of, I don't get the benefit of, you know, being able to bounce ideas off of people. And that's a really interesting process for me, who's gotten so used to working collaboratively, for just finding my voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and the sonic differences between the two are also pretty stark.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see that change there. Yes. Would you like to play another song for us?
I'd love to.
Excellent.
Yeah. strung out in my head. Replaying what you said. Violence on your breath.
So, have you done much diving into James Joyce? You bought the book. Do you think that he would have? Do you think that he would like this album?
I have absolutely no idea. My only other experience, really, with James Joyce, he was the author of the Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I spark noted that in high school, so I don't really.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, I don't really know. But I think from what I'm... The scholarship around that particular poem suggests that he was writing about the fleeting nature of youth and writing about how, you know, like, when you're feeling old, like, you see these things around you that kind of are, like, reminders of the passage of time. Which wasn't really what I got out of the poem when I went into it blind, and wasn't really what I was kind of going for, really, with any of this music, but it really sort of exists for me, the music, and as, like, a document of just, like, a time and a place more than anything else, just 'cause, like, I don't think I could have written music like this, like, these days if I tried, like, the stuff that is kind of exciting to me right now, at least for my own creative output, is very different than it was a year ago, and I think that's why I decided to write and record this music when I did is just because it felt like very pressing for the time for me to document it. So yeah, I guess it's kind of like about the passage of time that way, and in that it's very much just like a living document of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you see coming up next? What's speaking to you now?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, I have like, you know, a couple songs maybe that, I'd want to keep going with this project with. Like, I have a few ideas for that. But I don't know. I think this was a real, labor of love, and anybody that's close to me knows I've just been toiling over this for like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's been like about a year of throughout the whole process. It's very painstaking. So I don't see myself really committing to anything with this project anytime super soon. And looking forward to playing a lot of shows next year with Main Era for a new album. That's probably going to be all I'm going to be thinking about for the next foreseeable future. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I wanted to release this album, just to have it, you know, close the chapter kind of for a bit. I'll probably still, I have so far played like pretty much every solo gig that has been offered to me, so I'll probably still keep doing that because it's fun, and I mm-hmm. think it's good for musicality. But yeah, that's kind of my vibe right now.
For sure. Yeah, and it's the Boston scene is so varied, which is nice. It's very healthy.
Yeah. Got
a lot of, yeah. Were there any other names that you were considering, before you settled on this one?
Huh. That's a good question. I don't really think so, honestly. I mean, I think the name and like the idea to like make a solo project kind of came at the same time. I didn't really spend too much time thinking of names. I think the name just sort of came at the right place in the right time. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Would you like to play another?
I would love to.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
So you were saying before that this is a project that you toiled over for a long time. I'll start out and ask, what was your recording process like?
Yeah. So part of like wanting to, you know, really try making something happen by myself was playing all the instruments and doing all the writing and recording and just every single thing by myself, with two caveats. So I would like to acknowledge Maeve Malloy and Jack Halberian for letting me use their drums and their bass guitar, respectively, and Willie and the rest of Main Era for, I guess, letting me borrow the Main Era equipment for some of the recording. But other than that, it was all me, and that was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. but it was fun. I'm not like a big control freak usually, but it was just sort of like me giving me excuse to be a control freak about something. but otherwise, the recording process was all recorded to cassette. So I've been messing around with four tracks for a couple years now. But earlier this year, or I guess it was later last year, I can't even really remember when this was. I think it was last fall, I got fed up with only having four tracks, and so I bought an 8-track all the way up in New Hampshire, and it turned out to be broken, and then I got it serviced, and then it was unserviceable. So I bought another identical 8-track on eBay for a good chunk of dollars because I was just so attached to the idea of having 8 tracks to work with. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just a lot of recording me in the basement or me in my bedroom just to tape. And yeah, just doing that a lot.
Did you find doing it? Oh, and also for anyone who might have tuned in since the last time we went over it, I'm here today with Signs That Mock Me As I Go.
Yeah.
Did you find doing it analog to be more liberating or constraining? And how did that affect the process?
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird kind of confluence of circumstances. I changed from using a MacBook for a while to building a PC and no longer having access to the DAW that I've gotten most comfortable with, which would be Logic. So suddenly I was like starting from square zero with like digital recording. And I was also at the same time getting more and more into recording to tape. My 9-to-5 is a computer job. So, outside of work, I'm less and less inclined to be on the computer. So I think it's kind of a combination of things where I just was really enjoying working analog because there's less distractions, I find. It's just very cool. You can't do a lot of things these days without a computer. And it's just really cool to be able to, you know, you can record an entire album without looking at a screen, which is really fun, especially now, and like most people today that are learning how to record, that's, you know, the first and only way you learn how to do it. And so I feel like it's like kind of keeping the flame of analog recording alive in my own little way, even though, you know, lots of people still do it, but it was just, you know, my way for me to do that for myself. As for the question about constraints, I mean, it introduces new, pretty brutal constraints while also liberating at the same time. So it's just, you know, picking your poison, right? I will say, like, working with analog is, like, once you get over the pretty significant learning and frustration curve, I find it to be very liberating because I think that like working with analog equipment just means that you don't have the option nor the need to like mess with it a lot in post-production. Like I found myself really laying off of like the EQs and you know layers of compression EQ that you might apply to a digital workflow, because you know it's kind of getting compressed and EQ'd by the tape on the way in a way that's already quite favorable for the human like hearing spectrum, in a way that's very pleasing to the ear, and that's just kind of baked into the medium. So when I did end up mixing it digitally, it was very minimal, A, because I was using Reaper, and it's a super intimidating DAW, at least to me, for someone that's just getting into it. I know people love it and say it's really customizable and powerful. I wasn't feeling up to really digging into it, so I just had like a couple of compressors and EQ plugins, but nothing crazy, just like 2 to 3 like a compressor and an EQ or something like that on each track, and that was pretty much it, which is really, really liberating for the mixing process. And I also didn't really know how to do anything more advanced in Reaper, so it worked out. But getting started, like my first 10 songs that I recorded on tape were pretty bad and had pretty significant issues, like technical issues. So it took a while, and I'm still learning, but it took a while to get to the point where you can get something that sounds okay.
Yeah,
which is part of the fun. That's why I find it also simultaneously very rewarding to work with tape, and I want to keep doing that as long as I can.
For sure. Did you find that, well, I'm sure that, well, you toiled over it, but was there anything in particular that let you know that, okay, this song is done, it's time to move on?
Honestly, like, that's one of the hardest things about doing this by myself, because the answer is no. Like, I tend to be someone that's pretty neurotic, and something that's very nice about working with a group of people is that, you know, we don't let each other waste each other's time. And if something's good enough, like, we'll let each other know, like, hey, like, you're tripping, like, that's good enough. And that's part of the reason I love my band so much. But when you're by yourself and you're a neurotic person that, you know, wants things to be perfect, which is funny given that it's like a very imperfect medium, then I like the last, like, you know, like 10 hours I spent on this project probably resulted in no audible difference to the person that's going to be listening to it, which is a tough pill to swallow. But I don't know. At the same time, part of the reason I liked doing this by myself is that I was just on my own timeline, so I could make inaudible changes for as long as I wanted, which was a blessing and a curse, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's that rate of diminishing returns,
totally.
For sure.
It's, yeah.
Very real. Well, would you like to play another one for us?
I would love to.
Excellent.
Of winter till you finally go insane. still wondering, earth, and listening for someone else's name. I was furniture for you to rest and cough out all your tongue. No more. No more. Wonder how many more months of winter till you finally go insane. You're still wandering the earth and listening for someone else's name. Sugar helps the medicine go down, 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 down. No more. Wonder how many more months of winter till you finally go insane.
An abrupt end. That's fun. That's, yeah. Yeah, it seems like a lot of your songs are rather temporal.
What do you mean?
Earlier there was one about the days getting shorter, was it? And then that one was about winter, or mentioned winter, brought up winter. There.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, like, the broad, like, chunk of this record was produced, like, in kind of a depressing environment. It was just, like, endless Boston winter when I was recording it. It was just very dark. And I also definitely felt the passage of time happening rather quickly as I was just, like, spending forever working on it and feeling like it was going very slowly. So... yeah, I don't know. It's hard not to, reflect on time in certain, you know, seasons of the year, like that. Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but yeah, that's a good observation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wish that I were better at listening to and for lyrics. But if I don't have them written down, they usually go over my head. But I know that I noticed those two little tidbits.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm the same way. I've been like, I kind of think maybe I'll put the lyrics up. I don't know. It's tough because it's like there's like literal like, you know, diary entries and stuff on it. So I like for a while was considering like having like releasing this project completely anonymously. So I'm still not sure how I feel about my decision to, like, you know, involve my own personal identity with it, but I don't know if I can muster the the gall, I'll upload the lyrics. Maybe I'll make it like a download only kind of thing for people that support it monetarily. That could be for you guys.
Or you can just listen real hard.
Or you could just listen real hard, yeah. I tried to mix the vocals like way hotter than I was, you know, comfortable with initially, because I tend to bury them. So I know that if I mix them way harder than I would want them to be, then they're probably about right.
Yeah. If you were a pigeon, where in Boston would you hang out?
Ooh. I think the... that's a good question. The first thing that comes to mind for me with that question is the on the corner of Harvard and Commonwealth Ave with the McDonald's and the 7-Eleven. Just because I would be, you know, with so many friends. But maybe if I was trying to go for like a more peaceful vibe, I might go for like some kind of like fun overpass in like the tunnels. Like maybe if I was a pigeon, it'd be cool to hang out like under or over the pike when it's crossing through the various bridges downtown.
I also really like how we have the buildings over the pike.
Yeah.
When they were originally building it, they were going to do more of those,
mm-hmm.
which I think would have been really cool and kind of futuristic.
Yeah, maybe that's the vision, but for now we just get to listen to it.
Yup. yeah, someday. Who knows? I mean, hey, Boston's going to be here for a while. They'll have time to build more buildings over the pike.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
We need more sweet greens and stuff, so gotta go somewhere.
Absolutely. Well, we're just about at the end of our time together, so one more time, why don't you tell us who you